O all ye holy angels and saints of God, intercede for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the month of November, Holy Church focuses our attention on the souls in purgatory. She devotes an entire day to praying for the holy souls, and she even gives a very special and unusual privilege to priests on that day, November 2nd, the privilege of saying three masses in one day. And she gives them this privilege so that they can say as many masses for the holy souls as possible. It's like she wants to make the most of the opportunity by getting as many suffrages and prayers for the holy souls as possible while she has our attention on this topic. But when we are thinking and praying for the holy souls, there is another thought that is always sort of in the back of our minds, which is a very good and a very beneficial thought. And that thought is that we may be poor souls in purgatory one day ourselves. And hopefully we will be, because if we don't make it to purgatory, we will probably end up in hell. The souls who go straight to heaven are very few and far between. Only people who are very holy and very close to God can pass straight to heaven after this life. But in order for us to get to purgatory and save our souls, first we have to die. And whether we end up in heaven, purgatory, or hell will depend on how we die. And how we die, in turn, will depend on how we lived on this earth. And so the Church tries to make us think about death as well in this month of November. This is why she offers indulgences to those who visit a cemetery on All Souls Day. And that is why so many good Catholics do that. Now, death is obviously not a pleasant subject to think about, but it is a reality for all of us, and it is something inevitable. The only other thing that is inevitable is taxes. Or depending on who you ask, there might be a third thing, because once I was in a store buying something, and the UPS came and delivered a package, and on his way out, he said that there are three things that are certain in life: death, taxes, and the United Parcel Service making a delivery. But let's focus on the first one today, the first of the three, and death. We'll think about death. So just as it is not pleasant to think about dying or doing our taxes either, thinking about having a package come is usually a nice thing to think about. The thought that it is inevitable makes us file our taxes on time so that we don't have to pay penalties to the IRS. We just grit our teeth and do it because we know that the consequences of not paying our taxes are far worse than just doing them. In the same way with death, when something is as important and as inevitable as death, even if it's unpleasant to think about, the only sensible and prudent way to handle the problem is to grit our teeth and face the facts and do what we need to do. In that way, death will be much less harmful to us when it comes than if we just close our eyes to the fact of it and try to ignore it until it's too late. Now, death for all of us will be the beginning of eternity. It will be the passage from this short life to one that will never end. And it will be of either a life of absolute and unimaginable bliss, or it will be the most incredible horror that a human being can possibly experience. And whichever of these two it is, it will last forever. This is something that's easy to say, but it's hard to imagine. We have no experience of anything that lasts forever. We have lived on this earth for maybe 20 or 30 years, or 60 or 80 years, possibly, and that may seem to us like a long time, but what is that in comparison with eternity? It's nothing. And then imagine that we are in heaven or in hell. Imagine that we have been there for 100,000 years. That's such a long time that we can't even imagine a length of time that long. And yet, after being there for that long, our eternity would still just be beginning. The thought of eternity or infinity is a very powerful thought. Just to think of it only as a mathematical concept is enough to make us dizzy. But to think about it as the measure of our reward or punishment from God is enough to make a person tremble with fear. And yet, at the same time, this thought is very beneficial because it makes us see things as they really are. The thought of eternity is like a pair of glasses that allows us to see things in their true perspective. Without this thought, we are spiritually nearsighted. We can only see the things of this earth, the things that are very close to us. But we can't see the entire landscape. We can't see the big picture and see that the things of this earth are actually very small in comparison with our true destiny. The thought of death and eternity has filled monasteries and convents. It has converted sinners. It has made the rich give their money to the poor as alms, and it has made the poor endure their poverty with patience. It has comforted many a broken-hearted person who was crushed by the misfortunes of life. Because it makes us see that the things of this life are passing. This life is like a dream that we have when we're asleep. When we're having a dream, it's something very vivid to us, and we think it's real. And then our alarm clock goes off, and we wake up, and as we pass from being asleep to being awake, we see that what we had thought was so real was actually nothing. It will be a similar experience when we are on our deathbed. We will see that what we thought was so important in this life was actually nothing, and that what really matters, the only thing that matters at all, is the life of grace in our souls, which will be our ticket to heaven. All of the time that we spent becoming as rich as possible, or saving up for an expensive car or a beautiful retirement home, or the time that we spent on our appearance, our physical strength, our beauty, all these things will seem like something unreal. And the things that we worried about so much, about whether this team or that team wins the World Series, or won, maybe, I don't know if it's over yet or not, or whether some political problem gets corrected, or things like that, all of these things will also seem unreal. And we will wonder why we put so much importance in them, because they really didn't matter. The only thing that matters is our relationship with God, how we stand with Him. This is not to say that we shouldn't do our daily duties. God wants us to work to support our family, to plan for our retirement, to have recreation, and so on. But we must do these things for the right reason and with the right intention, which is that we should do them because they are the will of God for us. And if we offer our daily duties to God and do them for love of Him and because it's His will, then these things will not be a waste of time for us. They will be meritorious and they will earn for us a reward that will never end. But this requires that we have some awareness of God on a daily basis and that we have a good prayer life and that we keep in spiritual contact with Him. But if we have spent our life committing sin, on our deathbed, we will finally see that as what it really is. The worst possible foolishness and self-destructive behavior. We will see that those mortal sins that we committed, which seemed so good and so pleasant at the time, were the most terrible insanity. We will see that we have traded an eternity of happiness for something that is basically nothing. And if we are fooling around with occasions of sin now, and needlessly exposing ourselves to proximate occasions without necessity, then in the light of death and eternity, we are gambling with our souls. That would be like going into a casino and putting a bet on a roulette table such that if you lose, you would lose your house and your car and all of your money. And if you won, you would win a nickel. Nobody would make a bet like that in a casino. And yet, when people take chances with occasions of sin, They are doing something much more foolish than that. And so if we are in that unfortunate state now, it's not too late to correct it. This life is a time of mercy. God's mercy is infinite to those who repent. God doesn't want sinners to go to hell. He loves them very much and wants them to go to heaven. And he gives great amounts of grace to those who struggle to overcome their sins. If God sees a person sincerely trying to overcome some fault, he will give that person great graces in order to help them. And if someone is too attached to some sin to give it up immediately, he should ask God to help him to see things as they really are, so that he can make the correct decision about whatever it is that may be separating him from God. But the thought of death is not just something negative. It is a great comfort in tribulation. Just as the good things of life are passing like a dream, so are its misfortunes. So if we are weighed down by some sorrow or misfortune, if our life seems unbearable, or if it seems too difficult to persevere in the service of God, let us be comforted by the fact that this life is passing, and that the reward awaiting us, if we remain faithful, will never end. It's like when you have a nightmare, and you think that you have lost all your money, or someone very close to you has died, and you are devastated. But when you wake up, and you see that it's not true, you are comforted very quickly, and you forget about something that had seemed so horrible to you just a few minutes before. In the same way, someone who suffers a lot in this life, if he bears it patiently and offers it up to God, when he dies, he will look back on the sufferings of his life as though they were all a bad dream, because they can't hurt him anymore. And he is enjoying an unimaginable happiness that will never end. Or think about if a sick person were told that he could undergo a painful operation without anesthetic, but that afterwards he would be healthy for many years, maybe for the rest of his life. He would certainly consent to go through with that operation. He would just grit his teeth and endure it because he would know that the brief pain of the operation would be well worth the many years that he would have afterwards of good health. And so we should look at the sorrows of life in the same way. We should think of the eternal reward that we will have afterwards if we bear them in the right spirit. So let us examine ourselves at least once in a while to see how we stand in relation to our eternity. Let us put on that pair of glasses, at least now and then, that will let us to see things as they really are, so that we can make the appropriate changes if necessary. But when we do this, it is important at the same time to have a great confidence in the mercy and grace of God, to have a confidence in his mercy, so that if we have sinned, we will be confident that we will be pardoned, and to have confidence in his grace that will give us the support that we need to avoid sin in the future. And if something is really not right between us and God, let us fix that now while we have time. And then we don't need to have any fear of death when it should come to us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.